You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
I messed it up right off the bat. Welcome in, everybody. Scott Beeson filling in for Phil Williams. Hope you're having a great day out there. Today is a Thursday. It is the 28th day of July in the year of our Lord 2022, and I appreciate the opportunity to fill in here on Right Side Radio. Phil is off doing his thing on a little bit of a road trip, just taking care of things that he wants to take care of, so we wish him the best. I hope he's safe and sound. For those of you who don't know, I served in the state legislature with Phil for a number of years. I actually served 8 years in the Alabama House of Representatives and then 8 years in the state Senate, and I am a reformed politician, which means I am now an honest, normal member of society, and you can trust most everything I have to say. I am here. Boomer is here. We are ready to rock and roll. And I can't believe, Boomer, that I fouled up turning on the microphone right off the bat. So your first thought would be, he's an idiot.
It's all good. I caught it. And I was giving you the thumbs up.
I was talking. I was doing a great job. And, you know, my producers, I have a radio program that is based out of Birmingham. It is actually on one of the stations, the sister station that Right Side Radio with Phil is on. And so they are playing it. They're playing Phil's show now, so I was on 3 hours this morning. Then I'll be on 2 or 3 hours there again, and then my replay is on from 7 to 10 tonight. So today it's Scott Beeson Radio all the way through. Anybody who wants to listen to that program can listen everywhere to it at scottbeesonradio.com from 9 until 12, Monday through Friday. And then when you get through with that, you can flip over and listen to Phil later on here. So we've got a lot of stuff to do, big things to do, and it's tough when you're doing radio. I'm just telling you. Because I'm one of those people, if I tell a story, I just feel like everybody is listening. So if I do the show that morning, it is hard for me to say the same things later because I think, well, I already did that. Now, the professionals, the folks, the Rush Limbaugh types, I'm sure Phil, have the ability to realize, look, the audience changes. And it shifts out. They have swanky names in the radio business for these things about how the turnover, that's it. That's one of the words. Boomer will know that. The turnover, every 15 minutes, the audience turns over. Every 30 minutes, I just figure people listen the whole show, which is completely wrong. And I do all the things you're not supposed to do on the radio. I eat. I'm trying to stop now, though, because yesterday, a lady that does a podcast with me, we do a podcast over at 1819news.com called Alabama Unfiltered. You definitely need to check it out. We've had some really good guests. It's me and two ladies, Amy Beth Shaver and Allison Sinclair. And Allison let me know that one of her friends listened to my show, likes the show, but could barely stand it because she could hear me chewing and swallowing on the program. And I've always said, I don't care. This is just, look, we're sitting at the table. Hold on, I'll give you an example, right? We're sitting at the table together. I got to take a sip. Okay, yeah, I'm trying not to burp. And I just thought that's the way it was. But apparently, Boomer, professionals are not supposed to do such things.
I'm learning all this as well. So
you didn't know? You got some snacks?
I got some snacks. I had a cookie yesterday. I got a drink over here right now.
I'm not sure really which is worse, the swallowing, the chewing. I did figure out, though, that eating during it has its downfalls. Because I checked out the little, what do y'all call them, the pop shields on my microphone? The little shield that's in front of it. And there were like little pieces of peanut or potato chips or something. I was like, that is just disgusting. No professional. Rush Limbaugh did not cover the golden EIB mic with little pieces of peanuts or cashews. He did not. Absolutely not. It might have been covered in cigar smoke, but not peanuts. But we have all kinds of stuff prepared for you today. Again, thank you to Phil for letting me fill in here on Right Side Radio. Like I said, you can check me out during the week over at scottbeesonradio.com if you're not in one of the places where my show is aired here in the heart of God's country. But let's get started with the United States. You may not have noticed, and that's another one of the things I do wrong, Beamer. I shouldn't say you all the time because I know it comes with this little hint of, oh, he's talking right at me, and I know better. I'm not that idiot. So I try not to do that, but I can't help it. So I'll say we. We know the economy is in bad shape, do we not? And we know, we have known that we are in a recession. Things are bad. And we also know that we live in a country where the definitions of things are changing right before my eyes. Jeeves, who is a producer on my regular program, he is a big student of the English language. And he's like, oh, look, the language, it evolves over time. The meaning of words change. And I'm like, I get it. If we just decide to start saying, because I'm old enough to remember when things became cool. Before that, when things were cool, that means the temperature of them was low. And then all of a sudden, somewhere in the late 70s, or I guess early 70s, it was cool, man, which meant it was really good. Then my children come along, and then things are bad. And they're bad, which meant they're cool, which did not any longer mean that they were of a low temperature. So things change. I get it. But the problem I have with this new world that we live in, this twilight zone that we live in, is that they just change they changes them. The powers that be change them. Some sports figure didn't say something in an interview and the word started getting picked up. You know, it wasn't a music figure. It wasn't from a movie. No, they just literally change it. Going back to, I don't know, give me a good example. Vaccines. The definition of vaccines. They come up with mRNA vaccines, which is, you know, never been really proved successful to fight off any, respiratory viruses or any coronaviruses. But hey, it's a great idea. We need to go out and make everybody take these. It'll be fantastic. I mean, Pfizer's got a wonderful one and Moderna's got one. It's just unbelievable. And it becomes apparent that these are not vaccines. They're not providing immunity for people. So instead of saying, oh, you know what? You're probably right. We need to call these something else. Maybe we'll call them gene therapy or something. No, we'll just change the definition at the CDC website of what vaccines are, even though we've used the old definition for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades. We'll just change it to fit the new narrative. And that was kind of one of the places people were beginning to see, hey, they'll just change this. You fast forward to recently, we're having the new changes of what is a woman? Merriam-Webster, the online dictionaries, where all of our children go. How many of us threw our dictionaries away when we realized we could look up words? I know we didn't throw them away because we're not supposed to throw books away, just kind of like we're not supposed to burn books. I'm like, what if you're cold? But anyway, we sent them all to the Hannah home, right? People in certain parts of the states know what I'm talking about. We sent them to the thrift store. The thrift store, all of a sudden, when the internet came big, the whole entire library at the bookstore, dictionaries and thesauruses, which I guess counts as a dictionary, just tons of them because we look up every word on the internet. I don't think that word means what you think it means. So, well, look it up. See what you think, Scott. Okay. There it is. In the last few days, Merriam-Webster online changes the definitions of male and female right before our eyes to meet with the whole LGBTQXYZ++ hashtag. Now it's got numbers. In Canada, I think there's a 2. I don't know what the 2 is. I don't know what half the other the letters are. But still. And then that leads me to this one. If you want to know where they started it, though, Boomer's looking at him. He's thinking. He's like, where is he going? This guy's crazy. You know when they really started it? Kind of the big hit, the big home run of changing definitions, and we all were like, whatever, is when they decided marriage was not a union between a man and a woman for the purpose of having a family, a nuclear family, raising children, the whole nine yards. And they came along and said, no, it's any two individuals who might love each other and want to be devoted. And I'm like, but that's not what the word means. That's just, that might be a couple. That might be two folks who really like each other. That might be something, but it's not marriage. Marriage is man and woman. That's the definition. That's where it came from. That's the definition we've used for thousands of years. And they just came along and said, nah, Not really to us. We know better. So that one was kind of like, hey, if we can get this one by the American people and by the people of the whole entire planet, what's the big deal on the definition of a vaccine? What's the big deal on the definition of a woman? I mean, y'all bought the marriage thing. Now we don't know the difference between men and women. So then that leads me to today. The new definition that has changed today. And we'll have that on the other side. I know we got to take a break. Let's go ahead and do that, and we will be right back.
ZLA Solutions.
And we are back. Scott Beeson on Right Side Radio filling in for Phil Williams. I hope his travels go well. I am here. Boomer is here. And we are ready to rock and roll. We talked before the break about just the definition of words changing. And people are like, Scott, what? Tell me some news. What are you talking about? Where are you getting to? Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when I do talk radio, sometimes I get philosophical. I like to talk about, hey, why, wherefore, what's the history behind, what was the truth, all those kind of things. So I kind of try to build up my show today. A lot of Thursdays, we do what we call Conspiracy Thinker Thursday. It used to be Conspiracy Theory Thursday till we figured out that actually the people thinking were the people that had the conspiracy theories. And now we've realized, like everyone else in the country, that what was a conspiracy theory 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, now we know is fact. There may not be any end to how much the United States government will lie to us. And I grew up during the time, what's so frustrating about it is, I grew up with the little green army men. You know what I'm talking about? You had the guy down on his knee, then you had the guy, he was holding like a bazooka. You had him, you got the guy standing there with the gun, you had the guy down with the communications device. I mean, I grew up with those guys. I grew up thinking that, man, the G-men, the government guys, they're going to be there to save you. They're working with the superheroes. I'm stuck in another country. They're going to roll up on the beach and save me because I'm an American and we're doing the right things. And, you know, I had a left-leaning teacher in school that tried to, you know, teach us about communism. Not that it was bad. He was a big fan. Teach us about that, those kinds of things. He'd make us read books like The Ugly American. I don't even know what that book's about. I don't know if I read the Cliff Notes to try to get by the test. But I was like, what are you talking about, The Ugly American? We're the good guys. We're the ones spreading liberty. We're trying to make life better for people. Our government wouldn't lie to us. And every day, the government lies to us about something. It's a fascinating thing. And it was a tough thing for me to get through, even as an adult. And I believe that millions of Americans are kind of going through that same process. I think I might have been on the front end of that process. But a tremendous number of Americans are like, wow, they really will lie. They will literally have a piece of paper in their hand that says the sky is blue, and they will literally say the sky is green. You're looking at the sky, and they will tell you the sky is green. And today is a great example of that. Today is the day the federal government released the second quarter's gross domestic product. GDP is now down two consecutive quarters, not 15-minute quarters like most of us in Alabama think any quarter is. Three-month periods. We're talking about 6 months of downward GDP. Classically, historically, at least for the last couple of decades, that means the United States is in a recession. That's what has been used. That's what if it happens while George Bush is president. Oh, we're in a recession. It's bad. It's the economy, stupid. Right? Right? But when it gets around to, we have the classical technical definition and Joe Biden is president, well, I don't know if it's really a recession. I mean, people who aren't really educated, who don't know anything about economics, I mean, they may think it's a recession. The regular old rubes in Alabama may think it's a recession. But we very, very smart, especially if we're very, very smart white liberal people, We would never, ever consider it. We would consider other things as well. And you saw this coming. It was just a few days ago that the White House starts saying, well, you know, a lot of the other economic indicators are really good. So we're probably not really in a recession. And you're thinking, wait a minute, that's the way it's always been. Everybody said that for last time at the end of the first quarter, when the GDP was down, people were like, hey, I think it's bad. We might be in a recession. Well, we won't be in a recession until we get two quarters. You fast forward, get the two quarters. Nah, it's not really. So they're literally changing the definitions before our eyes. But millions of Americans don't listen to Right Side Radio. They don't listen to the show I do. So they're not up to speed. They still think the federal government wouldn't lie to us. I'll give you another example since we're learning about economics. One of the things, and Joe Biden uses this exact same thing as one of his points. Well, the unemployment rate is so low. You hear the governor of the state of Alabama, Kay Ivey, we're at historic unemployment rate. It's so wonderful. Our leadership is fantastic. The unemployment rate is so low. And then you think, wait a minute. How can the unemployment rate be so low if I know so many people who aren't hitting a lick at a snake? How can you have so many people not working and the employment rate be so low? Well, voila. I can't remember if it was the Bush administration or if it was the Obama administration. I think it was one of the two. I don't think we go all the way back to the Clintons for this. The federal government just decided they would change the definition of the unemployment rate. And if people have been looking for a job or they're not looking for the job, they're just not working and they're not actively looking, they don't get to be counted as unemployed. I don't remember what the other word is, if it's jobless or not currently looking or whatever. So in America, you can end up with an almost all-time high of Americans who are able-bodied, not working, while at the same time, President Joe Biden and then many governors can run out and say, look at us, record low unemployment. That is the power of changing definitions. And they can just go and do that, and then you and I don't even realize it. Like, wow, things are wonderful. It is fantastic. So we have Joe Biden, who the United States Congress and decided he was the guy to be president. That's how he is constitutionally president. I didn't say he was legally elected. He is constitutionally president. Did they get there through hook or crook and fraud and all of those sorts of things and maybe millions of people voting illegally? Yes, absolutely. Is he legally president? Yes, because the Congress didn't care to look. The United States Supreme Court didn't care to answer the questions of whether or not states elected people through illegal ballots. But this president went out and wanted to make sure that people knew that it's a historic economy. It's unbelievable how good it is. I'll explain a little bit about how they get away with this. This is just one of those, it's really beyond spin. It's more like just plain out half-truths. We'll have that on the other side. Don't forget, you can call in if you want. 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Scott Beeson filling in for Phil Williams on a Right Side Radio. Don't forget, if you want to join the program, the number is 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448 or 833-68-RIGHT. I can never figure out those. I think that's cool, but I will crash my car trying to drive. Scott, you shouldn't be dialing while you're driving. I never do. I'm just going to say, I never, ever, ever look at my phone while I'm driving. So if you want to call in, you are more than welcome. Those of you who listened to my program this morning are hearing some of the same things, but the rest of the folks haven't got a chance to hear these things. So we're working on those and working through. But don't forget, it is now official. The United States has had two consecutive quarters of a gross domestic product on the downturn. That is the classical, traditional definition of a recession. And I'm looking at the story over at Fox News, which Fox News is interesting as well, because they make some comments about, well, you know, it's the technical definition. I'm like, why are you trying to help Joe Biden? You know, Joe Biden said just a few days ago that we were not coming into a recession. He said, I don't think we're going to, God willing. I don't think we're going to see a recession. He knew what these numbers. Well, you're right. I'm sorry, I misspoke. He has no idea. Joe Biden doesn't, you cannot count on Joe Biden actually knowing what's going on. I don't mean that in a bad way. Now, the part that I do mean in a bad way is I think when Joe Biden was at full speed, when he was at his full intellectual capacity, let's put it this way, he wasn't building any rockets, okay? He wasn't way ahead of the game when he started. And now that he is having his issues, per se, having started just a few years back, he's even further behind than he was before. And I wish good things for him. I wish him good health. I hope that he fails in his goals to further Barack Obama's fundamental transformation of America. I hope he fails at that. But he is doing a bang-up job. There is no doubt about it. If you want to look at it on a success scale, Joe Biden is doing way more in a short amount of time to fundamentally transform the United States into something it was never meant to be than Barack Obama did. But in fairness to the Messiah that we had all been waiting on, remember he said, we're the ones we've been waiting for. Barack Obama did put all the groundwork in place. The Obama administration did the behind-the-scenes work. They thought they were teeing it all up for Hillary Clinton. So they had it all in place. They put the people in there. They monkeyed with the military. They changed the intelligence services. They did all of those things so that Joe Biden can be as successful as he possibly is, even though Joe Biden's not even really sure what he's doing. I don't believe Joe Biden knows what is on the paper when he signs half the executive orders he signs. Scott, that's not true. Well, watch the signing ceremony. What's the lack of answering questions about those things? Everybody sees it. Even my liberal friends who 6 months ago just denied it, now they don't even bother denying it. They know that Joe Biden is in decline. And if we know that Joe Biden is in decline today, that means factually he has been in decline. He is already, what are you boomer when you're fully declined? When you've reached the target of decline, are you just...
I mean, you're just
fully declinated? That'll make you sound smart. If I said declinate, it's not even a word, but it's probably not a word. But it
sounds very intelligent.
Sounds very intellectual, right? So all my liberal friends, I'm like, oh, he's fully at the apex of his declinatedness. I'm like, God, Scott knows some big words. So Biden says we're probably not going to go into recession, even though on today, 3 days later, we're now should be officially at a recession. So I asked myself, who are these people? So from the Fox News article, you have this. Citing figures from the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER. Now, your humble host did what most Americans won't do or don't do. I read National Bureau of Economic Research. A couple little synapses fired across and came up with nothing. And I said, I've never heard of these people. It's a great sounding name. Sounds like, man, you have got to be really, really smart when it comes to economics if you're the National Bureau of Economic Research. So I went and looked these people up. There's another article. The Washington Post has an article that says, recession experts don't think we're in one. And you're like, who's a recession expert? It has an accompanying piece that says the eight economists who decide if the U.S. is in a recession. Now think about that. Most people listening to this program have been around for a while, been alive for a while, probably been adults for a while. That's kind of how the progress goes. You don't come straight out of high school usually listening to News Thought Radio. So you get a little bit older, and you're like, I really need to kind of keep up. You turn one of these shows on, and you're like, dang, I don't even know if I want to listen. That just makes me miserable. Just seems awful. But then you realize, hey, look, somebody's got to know what's going on. Somebody's got to be the people that tell other folks how this works and who these folks are. So most of us, if we admit, would say we have never heard of the National Bureau of Economic Research. So I go find them on the internet. And if you do that, you can go and see what they're all about. And if you look around enough, you'll find out that they say they are nonpartisan. I've just about decided if a group says they're nonpartisan, straight off the bat, it's like at the very top of the headline, very top of the page, nonpartisan, they're partisan. Nonpartisan must be some strange language like early Latin for no, we're fully partisan, and that's how we let people know, because we want to say straight out of the chute, I'm nonpartisan. Hello, I'm Scott. I'm nonpartisan. That means I am partisan. Does that make sense, Boomer? Am I speaking English that people can understand?
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
If you have to tell me right off the bat you're nonpartisan, you're partisan. Because otherwise, I would have thought the National Bureau of Economic Research would be nonpartisan. But Where is the paper I found earlier today? You gotta hear this. Okay, here it is. From earlier. So I found working papers because I'm trying to figure out who are these people. This group has been around since the late 70s. Probably there just in time to say that we weren't in a recession when Jimmy Carter was president. Kind of see that? It's kind of odd that, oh, we got to go all the way back to Carter to find this group. These are some of the papers that they have had, some of their publications. If you start going through what they work on, things like climate change, does that sound nonpartisan? American agriculture, water resources, and climate change. Banking on transparency for the poor, experimental evidence from India. You're like, wait a minute. Listen to this one. Are menthol smokers different? An economic perspective. You really can't make this up. I'm trying to find the paper I found this morning and read some of is what you really want to hear. It was just a pile of words where someone clearly got the thesaurus out, and it was just as many big words with multiple syllables that they could string together to make themselves sound smart. And it was all about how to tax businesses based on how much pollution they might put out. But the problem was some of them, you don't really know how much pollution they put out. So you might have to, and what was one of the words? It was like the internalization of the externals, which I said is clearly eating. Because you got this stuff out here, it's external, you make it internal. But when you read their papers, you know this is a partisan group, which makes perfect sense. Who else would the Washington Post look to? Who else would the Biden administration look to other than a group of leftists who say, hey, we're the people who decide? Now, the maddest I got was at Fox News. Fox News is referencing these people. We're all going home. We're going to watch Fox News because Fox News is where the conservatives go. And if we start paying attention to Fox News' website and Fox Business, or I don't even know what is on all the stations y'all are on, but Fox Radio, Fox News Radio. You're like, whoa, where did y'all come from? Where did this is? It's amazing stuff. But just remember that Joe Biden and the eight economists who decide if the U.S. is in a recession say we're not in a recession. And the last thing, I know I can push this break a little bit longer, but this is one of the things I want people to note. I started off saying that there are certain lies that they tell us, and then there are just some half-truths. And President Biden is out trying to say, well, you know, other things in the economy are going good. One of his statements, he touted the job market. We talked about that earlier. He said it remains historically strong. What does historically strong really mean? You and I think, oh, it must be great. It's just, they just use historic just any old time they want to. The job numbers were historically strong during the Great Depression, too, in a negative way. But it was historic, and they were strong. But here's where it gets you. They go out and start talking about, well, sure we have a slowdown. Of course we're having a slowdown. Coming off last year's historic economic growth. Now think about that. It's like the acceleration of a car. Oh, no, we've accelerated. It's fantastic. We were in the ditch. We had to get pulled out. COVID's got us in the ditch. We get out. We start speeding up, trying to just get up to normal. And they're bragging on how much acceleration we have. That's what they're doing. They're literally bragging about percentage growth when we were crushed because of COVID that they did to us. The government did it, and then the government wants to brag on the economic growth starting from nothing. And this is my favorite part. Joe Biden said that this is how you know we're not in a recession. Consumer spending is continuing to grow. So I thought, what does that mean? Boomer, I'll tell you what it means. You know the milk that you buy? The eggs that you buy? That 6 months ago, the milk was like, what, $3.50? Now it's like $4.25 or $4.50 or something, somewhere like that. The eggs were $2.85, and now they're approaching $4. So you're spending more on the same things you always buy. Your family goes to the grocery store, what was $100 bill is now $150 bill, $200 is $400. But think about what Joe Biden says. Consumer spending is continuing to grow. We're not listening to what he's saying. He's basically saying, hey, it's wonderful. You're spending more money than you used to. Millions of Americans are like, oh, that's great. Yeah, consumer spending's up. And I've been taught my whole life and consumer spending's up. It's wonderful. Consumer spending up. You know what another word for that is? Inflation. The president of the United States is literally telling us, oh, the economy's great because you bunch of chumps out there are spending more every day. Thank you. I love how I'm spending more. Joe, please go eat some ice cream and leave us alone. We got to take another break. We'll be right back. We are back, everybody. If you're looking for Phil Williams, he will be back on Monday. Unfortunately, you're stuck with me for these 2 days. I am Scott Beeson filling in. I'm just your humble fill-in host on this program. Don't forget the number here, 833-687-4448, 833-687-4448. If you want to join in the show, not that talking about the economy is the most exciting thing in the world. I'm more fascinated with how the Biden administration and the mainstream media just tells us whatever. And for those people who are out there buying this sales job that we're getting of, well, we're not really in a recession. There's a lot of experts out there who really understand the economy more than you rubes do. And they say we're not really in one because they look at other factors. Now, yes, they look at that factor, if it's a Republican president, but you know, it's going to be a disaster in the fall, and it's all hands on deck to try to save Joe Biden. So yeah, you know, it might suck for you out there, but we're not really in a recession. And I looked up these people, and I was telling Boomer off the air, I found the paper that I talked about on my program this morning, and I read him the first sentence. This is how you know this is not a bunch of conservatives. This is not a balanced group. I said right out of the chute before the last break, if you go to a website for a nonprofit and the, one of the first thing it says about them is how they're nonpartisan, just about bet your last dollar they're partisan. That's just kind of the way it works. I don't know why. It just is. It's one of those rules. I was going to say it's like gravity, but I don't really understand gravity. Gravity's, do you know gravity's like magic? They just really, they can't quantify it. They can't tell it. They just like, look, you just know it's there. Well, how do I know it's there? Well, because we just say it is. Well, how do you know it really works? Why don't you just go with, well, God made it that way? Because we like to say gravity. Anyway, the first sentence of this article, I'll give you the headline. And this explains, I'm telling you, this is one of the working papers at the National Bureau of Economic Research, the nonpartisan people who get to decide whether we're really in a recession, who say we're not. It's titled Adverse Selection as a Policy Instrument, Unraveling Climate Change. It's by Steve Sakalia, David Hamos, and Morton G. Olson. Here's the sentence. Boomer loves this sentence. Very first thing, right out of the chute, telling us what this paper is about. This paper applies principles of adverse selection to overcome obstacles that prevent the implementation of Pigouvian policies to internalize externalities. Now, if you tell me you know what that means, I think you're fibbing. The people who claim they know what that means right out, as soon as I've read it are just trying to pretend they're smart. So that's the second thing. Nonpartisan, first sentence, nobody knows what it says. Internalize externalities? Come on. So how did I know it was a leftist organization? Because of this sentence, which is the third sentence. We evaluate a policy that gives firms the option to pay a tax. That kind of tells you right there, right? Nobody gets better. Gives firms the option to pay a tax on their voluntarily and verifiably disclosed emissions, or pay an output tax based on the average rate of emissions among the undisclosed firms. The certification of relatively clean firms raises the output-based tax, setting off a process of unraveling in favor of disclosure. This is a bunch of leftists. We find that the voluntary certification mechanism would deliver significant gains over output-based taxation in two empirical applications: methane emissions from oil and gas fields and carbon emissions from imported steel. Leftist. Period. No doubt about it. So that is the economic news of the day. We got two more hours of the program. You do not want to miss it. Some of the other things we're going to talk about. New England Journal of Medicine coming out with some interesting information when it comes to COVID. I think many of you will be surprised by this. I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with COVID and the facts and how we've been not told the whole story since the beginning. That is coming. We'll have something to talk about monkeypox, mostly because I just like to say monkeypox. It's one of my favorite words. I didn't know before a few weeks ago that there was such a word, but just say it a couple of times. If you're mad, somebody cut you off in the car, just call them monkeypox. What is wrong with you? You got monkeypox? If you don't smile and feel better after you say monkeypox, you're just not an American. Boomer, you agree with that? Yep. Say monkeypox like two times and see if you start smiling.
I can't do it without start laughing.
He can't even say it one time without smiling. I'm not to the point where I wish everybody like a happy monkeypox day. But we got to go. We'll be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians.